I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Jay from Stretford Paddock. This is the Paddock Podcast, and joining me are two people who, just when we went live, were arguing about who hates Arsenal more. We've got Abdullah in the blue corner, and in the red corner over there, well, you're both in the red corner, we've got Ronaldo Brown. You were just saying that you were a bit annoyed with Abdullah because he wasn't slating Arsenal enough after yesterday's epic win over him.
You know, I didn't see enough slate, but maybe I didn't see it. You know what
I'm not slating them. I'm just complaining about how daft their fans are with the whole refereeing thing. No, and the conspiracies.
Do you know Arsenal fans actually got voted the least intelligent fan base in the Premier League?
100%
voted for that themselves because of that fit.
Do you know what's funny is like you go through their Twitter, like the fans, and you're like, oh, this guy's usually got like some nice analysis or whatever. Let me go click on his page. He's an Arsenal fan. Let me see what he says. And it's just complaining about the refs and complaining. What? Like, come on, man. Nah, they need to grow up, you know, bro. Like he's
exactly. As for Jay. You know me, don't you?
So yeah, I do know you. I know you very well.
Is there anyone that you know that hates Arsenal more than me?
It's weird. I think it's a generational thing, right? Well, you're a little bit younger than my brother. My brother hates Arsenal quite a lot. He's in early 30s because he sort of remembers the Wenger years and like he had that growing up when they were winning things and challenging United. I always hate Leeds, Liverpool and City more than anything else. But you are up there. You've got the double combo, right? I said to you when you walked in today, you might be the happiest man in Manchester because you hate Arsenal. I don't know if you hate him as much as Ronaldo, I'll give you that. But you also love Marcus Rashford. Love Marcus Rashford.
Yes.
I see you fighting Marcus's corner every week, doing God's work, and you must have been buzzing when the first goal went in, let alone the second one.
Oh, bro, that was so good. Especially that first one was just in the right time as well, isn't it? Like, to bounce back in a game.
Yeah.
And for once, Bruno doesn't overhit one of those, and it's actually such a perfectly timed ball.
Yeah.
So
it's good to see as well, man.
It was perfect, man. I was buzzing for him. I think it's just good, man, because I could tell that Ten Hag wants to really get him back up to that level.
Yeah.
And we start seeing that with a couple of players, like, that McTominay performance against Brighton at the start of the season, by the way, was arguably the worst I've seen from a Man United player. Don't say that lightly at Old Trafford. It was genuinely awful. Like, he looked like...
Whatever.
not ever, bro. I'm not even joking. Like, do you know the one where he turns in that game, yeah, and he gets tackled?
Yeah.
Like, why are you turning your body like that, bro? You're a professional footballer, bro. At the top level, to be on the break...
Why are you turning your body like that? Have you seen Maguire?
No, but then forget Maguire, bro, for now. This guy's playing attacking midfield that game, yeah. And I was like, that was the end of McTominay.
Alex is off camera. I want to know if Alex has stopped defending, actually, Maguire. He was adamant he was going to be a mainstay in the team all season.
I thought he would play, to be fair. But with McTominay, my point is that game yesterday.
I don't feel like we should have a dig at him.
He played well.
McTominay.
I'm not digging
very
I'm
well.
Alex.
In my opinion, he played very well. And I'm not a fan at all, especially after that start he had.
Yeah.
Like, bro, I thought he was done for. After that first game against Brighton, I thought this guy's not touching this team, no way. But there's a few players that you could tell the manager
was off. If I had said to you, right, a month ago, we're going to sign Casemiro, and Scott McTominay is going to keep him out of the team, and everyone's going to agree it's probably for the best at the minute. Would you believe that?
Actually,
no.
It's
no,
actually mad to say that, isn't it?
I was
watching
from that Brighton game. Like,
because it's not just that McTominay is in the team; he deserves to be in the team.
He does. I was watching the first half from him yesterday. And I was like, this guy.
He was doing that. Like, you know, when he was receiving, he was. No, he's not the same player. There's no way, bro.
I love it. Like, he's not listening.
Like, when I saw him rap, like, he started rapping in line breaking passes, and I was like, this is.
He was everywhere.
And when he was touching the ball, he was like opening his body up the other way. I was like, this is not McTominay, no way.
Like,
usually he touches the ball, then runs the other
way. I'll be honest. What do you think it is, though? Abdul, do you think it's the Eriksen effect? Do you think it's the Ten Hag effect? Do you think it's the Casemiro like pressure?
I think it's a combination of things. I think you could tell with Casemiro, and obviously I'm not getting ahead of myself because I still think there's a lot of limitations in his game. But if you can put in that level of performance, because with McTominay, he's always done well in the big games because of his physicality. But yesterday there was intelligence in actually where he was receiving the ball, which for me is his biggest deficiency. Like, he doesn't know where to pick the ball up. He doesn't understand space very well. Mm. I think a lot of it is to do with working a bit more with Ten Hag. And we know that as poor as he is, and even when I was slating him, I can't take that factor away from him from when you talk to people behind the scenes or from what we've seen, what we know is that McTominay is a hard worker. Someone puts in an extra shift and wants to become a better player. But you really see effect. And I think there's a couple of players in this team. Diogo Dalot is one of them. I think Marcus Rashford isn't naturally a centre forward in this system. I think Marcus Rashford can play as a centre forward. I think he can play as a centre forward with someone else, like with a Martial in the front two. We've seen the period where he was bagging against, I think it was Newcastle. He played that when under Ali, and then we went away to PSG and he bagged in that. And then when there was a Leipzig as well off the bench, he actually played sort of in that front two. But when he's the sole centre forward, it doesn't really suit his game. And what we're seeing, that assist to Antony, I thought that went under the radar. Like,
me and Joe was talking about early.
That was a great pass. But
perfectly weighted pass, and he did well to get it sort of out.
We'll say with Rashford, though, the two. We've seen Rashford's record against the top six.
Yeah.
It is pretty insane. And we've seen his two best performances of the season come against Liverpool and Arsenal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that might be more pointing towards the style of player he is.
Yeah,
I don't necessarily think as good as he played against Arsenal, and he's shown glimpses of regaining some semblance of his form that he used to have. Yeah. I kind of get the vibe that he still isn't an answer in the long run as a striker.
Yeah.
Even though maybe that's where he's played. Because I think he's one of those players where when you're up against teams that there's going to be more space behind and games a little bit more stretched at times, I think that's when he excels.
Yeah.
Against a Liverpool, against an Arsenal. But I think against teams that are going to be a little bit tougher to beat, for example, next week at Selhurst Park against Palace, I don't know whether he can kind of be that link man or that someone that can
but then
be
to
as
be
creative.
Fair, like when you actually look at, he had a game at Selhurst Park a couple of seasons ago. Well, I think it was the COVID period. He'd come back and then he went on that run all the way into the area. Then I think he had that touch and go with Martial, then set up Martial for the goal.
Was he up front though?
No, he's playing left wing. But that's my point. I think Ten Hag needs to figure out is when you use him there. Like, I agree with you. I think you can't really play him through the middle in those games. I wouldn't at all. But if you play him on the left wing, he's still got ability when he's confident to try and beat his man. I think it's such a weird thing, innit? But you watch that Liverpool game. After he scores that goal, almost something just clicks when he went out to the left. He just beat, like, Gomez, Trent, cut in, and then he had that shot over the bar. And it was the same thing yesterday. I think after he scored the first goal, I seen him, there was like a chance out where he was trying to like shove Saliba, and then I think he took the ball on and he just looked like confident in the way that he was playing. I think he thrives off having those moments, and he's more of a player that goes off that momentum.
He's a confidence player, isn't he? Like he
is.
Most players.
Talking of confidence, right, and talking about how deluded Arsenal fans are, let's have a look. This is a tweet that was doing around the other week. Can we have a little look at that there? So this was when he got carried away, when he had a bit of a run. Now, what's amazing about this is, you know, whoever this kid is, Mo Arsenal 86, right? Full of beans. Yeah. Invincible vibes, man. He won four games at this point. So you can see why things are going to go the entire season undefeated. And then his mate pipes up just to bring things back to reality.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
You know, let's have it right. Invincible's a bit of a stretch, but I can see a Premier League within 3 years and maybe a Champions League within five. No, forgetting the fact we've never won the Champions League. But with the current level of Premier League opposition, Invincible's a bit difficult.
Listen, you know what's funny about that last tweet?
Wow.
He thinks he suppressed the delusion a little bit the end of it. Do you know what he says? With the current level of competition, it might be difficult, look.
Yeah, I think, you know, might be getting tested a little bit to say we're going to go the entire season.
You know,
but
I think the Champions League within 5 years. Almost what he said is crazier than the first box. Because he said they're going to win the Champions League.
Do you know what I mean?
I love the fact he's put like a 5 year limit on it as well. You've not even been in the Champions League.
On a serious note, I hate when football fans do that. And our fans always love doing that. Whenever a manager comes and we have a patch and we're like, obviously, they've had like eight finish and fifth. So I don't know where all this confidence is coming from. We need to first of all address that. Where is this confidence coming from? Because I need that right now.
Yeah.
Where are you getting this confidence?
Is it just delusion? You beat Fulham and Bournemouth.
You always look. Listen, Arsenal have always looked good.
You think you're gonna go the season unbeaten?
Arsenal have always looked good playing football. That's never gonna change. You're always gonna have your 4-0 Norwich, Leicester games where, oh, this Arsenal team back in the day played amazing. But when you look at the season, they did nothing. And your fans haven't had anything since 2004 that anyone cares about. Yeah,
I love it though.
You always have that. You're always going to have that. You're always going to look nice on the eye. But when it matters, you don't
listen,
do
this
it.
This is the energy that was required. Hold
this, Abdul. This is where we're at today.
Do it. They just have that featherweight G, you know, innit?
Yeah, they do.
They're never going to shake that off. They're never going to shake that off.
Do you know what I mean? It's just embedded.
I think it's 100%. You ask me who hates Arsenal more than even you see. My friend Tudor. No. He lives in London, right? He's a big United fan. He comes up for the games. He's been on Devils in Paddock before. And he knows a lot of Arsenal fans. And this guy, like, if we lose to Arsenal, I don't hear from him for, like, months.
And when we win, you can't stop hearing from him. So he's up there with YouTube.
It's just the way, like, it's almost a universal thing from all fans that aren't Arsenal fans. They just know that it's inevitable that they're gonna crumble.
Yeah.
I know. That's weird because on the outside, looking in, right, you always go, Arsenal will flop. Arsenal will bottle this. Arsenal won't.
And they always prove you right.
And yet the fans... And I know that's part of being a football fan, you have that hope, whatever, but they seem to go so quickly with the delusion. Yeah. And then they come out with the stupidness of like, I guarantee, right, if Arsenal finish fifth or whatever at the end of the season, you'll have certain Arsenal fans who'll show you the graph of how long they were in the top four for.
And then
they'll go, we were in the top four for like 36 games this season.
No, but
like,
they are
shameless as well. I've seen them say, oh, we're still top of the league.
Then they'll say something like, oh, if you look at the way that we play, it's more sustainable compared to Man United, who are just copying what Ole Gunnar Solskjaer did and just playing on a break and this and that. And the last, bro, it's been a joke. If you actually look at that game on the weekend, and let's look at the first goal as the biggest example. Every player on Man United's team had the touch of the ball for that goal, We've actually seen that goal a couple of times for United this season. The Liverpool game, not in the same style, but Man United clearly have a way where through Eriksen or is it Delow on a couple of occasions now in the last couple of weeks, the ball just quickly transitions into Bruno, Sancho and Rashford and it leaves them in, and I tweeted about this yesterday, it leaves them in like a 3v3 or 3v4 situation. Leicester goal was similar, Liverpool goal was similar. It looks like you're on the break, but you're actually opening up the team in a certain way. We keep finding Bruno in that pocket in whether it's right or left and then it gets transitioned into a Sancho Rashford and obviously Anthony benefited off that way. So there's clearly a way that Man United are breaking teams down. It's just that these lot don't want to accept
They're even arguing that they've left they left Old Trafford yesterday with the We Played Well award, I think.
I've seen Roy Keane ribbing him saying what you're having a sing song on the bus on the way home because you just
the thing is it's the same Arsenal, isn't it? Like they complain about the refs. We played nice football. It's the same thing. Like, it doesn't change. Every year, no matter if they're 8th, 9th, 5th, or when they were living in the top four without winning a Premier League for years, it doesn't matter,
did you watch? Because you watched their first game against Palace, didn't you?
Yeah.
They got battered for the last hour of that game.
Bro, the second half, Palace got battered. But not a word, though.
No word from them about...
Yeah, I remember you were saying this. People are getting excited, but that's not that different from what we've seen in past.
When I watched them, obviously, that's probably their worst performance of the season was against Palace away, which is a hard place to go. But they literally got battered for 60 minutes after the first half an hour, and they scraped like a deflected own goal in the second half to kind of kill the game, because Eze didn't score.
I said something about that game, yeah. Like, they looked... This I'll say this, with this Arsenal team, when they've got possession, they're probably one of the better teams in the league, like probably top two, top three in the league when they've got the ball. But I said this after watching the Palace game, and I'll be serious now, I'll actually dive into it in analysis. We've had our joke, we've had our laugh, but I said this, once the opposition's got the ball, Arsenal look really bad. Like, they look so easy to open up. Palace proved that point. Leicester, in that 4-2 win?
Yeah.
They were horrific. As soon as they had most of the ball, but as soon as they gave up the ball to Leicester.
I think they're a decent pressing team at times. Yeah. But I feel like once you bypass the initial press,
there's
they're really
gaps
open.
That you can find,
and
isn't it?
There's so many gaps. And he's one of the...
We'll get into this in a minute. I've got some super chats and then I want to chat about something. Aditya Galsam says, Arteta is delusional, just like their fans. Why are people associated with that club? I like that, Jay. And he answers, I don't know, it must be something in the water over in Highbury. Abhinav Verma says, Arsenal fans always make hating Arsenal eternal. Yeah, agreed. Anyway, can we get the Manscaped read up, please? Yeah, thank
I was
you.
Gonna, I was
No,
I won't let. I'll let you do the. I'm not gonna let you do the read. No, I'm joking.
Anyway, right. Smooth sack summer is slowly coming to an end, fellas. If you haven't been scaping for the summer, unlike us lot, then it's not too late to sweep your sack of those pesky pubes. As summer comes to an end and we enter, whoa, we enter what? What's this? Fall, autumn over here. Yeah, fall's American. We're in England. It's autumn. Anyway. Enter autumn. Keep your boys clean and fresh, just in time for fresh ball autumn or fresh ball fall, if you want, if that's what you like to call it. The leader in below the waist grooming is here to make sure your pubes feel smoother than a beach ball. Do you remember that beach ball against Liverpool, against Sunderland, where it bounced off the ball? Your pubes will be smoother than that, or your balls will be smoother than that. Yeah. What's this? This next line. And smell fresher than your girl's pumpkin spice. What the hell's that? Start the new season the right way and join over 6 million men worldwide, which is basically everyone, who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping. So no wonder they're using the term fall, because if you're in America, you can get this. Using the code DEVILS20 at manscaped.com. There's a link in the description, because we've all been there, right? You've all had these little accidents where you've got the torch in your mouth, you've got the candles out, you've got the razor out, you get them little nicks and cuts. You don't want any of that. So using the Performance Package 4.0, we've got the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, the 4000K LED spotlight, you've got the multifunctional on-off button, you've got the anti-chafing boxers, you've got the little bag to put it all in, you've got the crop preserver, the crop toner, so you can keep things smelling nice and feeling fresh. You've got all that, right, in the shed travel bag. What more do you want? So you don't have to go for any of them accidents. You don't have to keep it all in a placky bag or carry it in your hand. You can put it all in your shed travel bag. So you look like one of them footballers coming off the coach where you give it a little thumbs up and all that. Do you know what I mean? So they've got you covered, yeah? So make sure you're using the code DEVILS20. You're going to get 20% off. You're going to get free worldwide shipping. You're going to get all those things I spoke about. The weed whacker, the crop preserver, the crop toner, the anti-chafing boxers, yeah? The LED 4000K spotlight. Yeah, the Lawnmower 4.0, none of that 2.0 or 3.0 nonsense, 4.0. Use the code DEVILS20, your balls. Sorry, yeah, DEVILS20, manscaped.com, link in the description. Your balls will thank you. You will have a smooth ball summer to a nice fresh ball fall or autumn. Thank you. Thanks to Manscaped for sponsoring us. Go on.
You know another thing I wanted to talk about? Abdul, what did you think about the genius Arteta's changes?
Oh,
those ultra attack.
I don't know what he was doing there. Zero control. And also, was it Fabio? What's his name?
Vieira.
Vieira.
To be fair, you know what was funny? He lost the ball, didn't he, on the half? Was it him that lost the ball on the half? Line for Fred?
He might have.
All
I remember is Arteta making this the craziest free subway, basically.
So he brought off, just so people don't know, or for people know. So he brought off
Zinchenko.
Zinchenko came off, I think.
Odegaard,
I think, might have been
Lukonga.
And Ben White, I think, came off later.
No, Lukonga was in the three.
Right, in the three. So it was Lukonga, Odegaard, and Zinchenko. And it was Smith Rowe and Keita and the kid Vieira. And then you also had.
So they literally went imbalance 4-2-4, all out attack, and just got opened up. That's how the Ericsson.
But he was criticised on. I saw the. When I got home, I watched on Sky.
Naive management.
And they were criticising him, saying it was too. He went too giddy, too quickly. And. Do you know what I mean? There wasn't
I don't think the changes were great.
Panicked.
I don't think the changes were great. I thought the way they were set up, they still had a chance in the game. I wouldn't have changed it personally.
Can we just know it as well?
I literally said what happened. Arteta started smelling himself first.
Smelling
yourself a little bit.
He's
getting a bit giddy.
His hair grow out too much. Do you know what I'm saying? On a Manscaped.
Do you know what we have to say as well? The atmosphere for the second home game running at Old Trafford was absolutely mint. There was a big protest before the game about the Glazers because everyone wants to get rid of the Glazers, glazing out and all that. The 58 behind it. We saw all the flags, the banners. We heard the chants throughout the game, no matter what Sky tried to do by sort of turning the volume down on them or drowning them out with pre-recorded crowd noises. The Glazers getting some absolute pelters throughout the game. But there was also that thing as well of everyone getting behind the team, everyone up for it. It felt like, do you know what I mean? I know it's a cliche, but you felt like that extra man was there because of the crowd. And that's been missing a little bit, hasn't it, over the last couple of years. In certain sections, I think the atmosphere sometimes can be as good as anywhere, if not better. But there's times when, because the football's been dire, the results have been awful, where the crowd haven't been, you know, as up for it as they could be. But yesterday, just like Liverpool game, it was absolutely pumping. I love that. There's no better feeling than when you sort of see the crowd getting behind the players. And the players obviously feel it as well. I want to ask you a little bit about Antony. Got a goal on his debut. It was a bit, for the first sort of period as well, a little bit up and down, which I thought he was trying on to find fringes, his feet. Find his feet, which I get, but I like the fact he had the confidence to try and make things happen. Yeah. What did you make of his debut?
I think he looked bright in spells. He looked like he's still going to have to take time to kind of adjust to the speed of it. He's not trained in quite a little bit as well. I think that's why he only lasted just under an hour. But one of the positives is that you can see he's got a little bit of spark. He's got a bit of creativity. He looks like he can do something. And we always like players playing for you that can get you off your seat, and I think he's one of them. And a lot of Ajax fans have been saying, which is a good thing, it seems like the whole fan base is saying that we haven't seen the best of Antony, and that Antony is a phenomenal player and he'll be great for us. And that's literally been universally said by all Ajax fans that I've seen on social media. So I'm excited to see what he can do, especially the fact that he's left-footed, a little bit more balanced to the team, an actual right winger that wants to play there. Because I think everyone else that we've been playing right wing doesn't actually want to play there. No. Like Sancho, Rashford, Alanga.
You see
they all don't want to play there.
That chance, that Rashford set him up for, that's perfect for your left foot.
Exactly. Yeah. Imagine it was. Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're false to Sancho or to Alanga or someone who's natural right foot. They might be tempted to try and use the outside of the
exactly.
Right
and great, greatest keeper in the world, Ramsdale, couldn't have made it any easier.
You know what annoyed
well?
Me a little bit about that, yeah. You know? I think he's a terrible goalkeeper.
I know you hate him. I've seen
him. I don't hate the guy as a person. I just think he's awful. He's that typical Dean Henderson, Joe Hart style. Look at me. I'm amazing. Like,
well, I think one thing I noticed off him.
I don't think he's that good.
Every single time they played out from the back through him, the pass to the fullback is just perfect. And I think that puts Arsenal at a massive advantage. And when I look at Man United, I can't ignore the fact that he might not be a great shot stopper, and he's still working on that in his game. I don't know if he's ever going to be good enough to even be like a challenge for
him. Camera save guy, don't he?
But also, he gave the ball away needlessly, didn't he, at one point? Like, he was lucky we didn't get a
goal.
That's
true. He does have his moments, but I feel like
his distribution is decent. But
bro, there was ones where he's pinging them, like, he gets it on his left foot.
But he has got a bit of a Bozo gene in him, though.
Yeah. Nah, no, like sometimes his distribution was decent. He's still got one in him, though. Like, he gave it away.
He's got errors in him.
And I'm just annoyed a little bit that, like, we didn't. We had a couple of chances, but we didn't properly test him. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know we
were. Yeah, because on the Antony one, he was literally his positioning for that was awful.
That was weird. You know I'm not going to lie.
I just feel like he's like.
He gave him one, like, whole side of the net, which was a bit odd. It's like, you know, when he closed that down, someone tweeted, but it's like he thought Antony was right footed. Innit? Like, the way he closed that down, it's like he closed the angle that didn't really need closing.
It was like him. It was weird. It was like Henderson against Salah.
Last season before last, sorry.
Where Henderson just gave him like 90% of the goal to aim for. Yeah. He was like, why have you done that? Yeah. Like, he was like, Henderson was stood with the post behind him. Yeah. Like, what are you doing?
I don't, listen. Is it the one against Liverpool? Yeah. Like, that's exactly what I thought.
Why have you done that? It was like, always like, you went, going? Go on, son, have a goal. I dare you to score. And he just went, yeah, all right, nice one.
No, but the thing is, will this be the beginning of the free fall though, that we expect from Arsenal? Just let's be honest about it. Obviously,
they got next?
They're playing Everton next, which the thing is.
Do you know what? I'll give it Everton. Everton have had a good game on a weekend.
Everton have been apparently playing decent every game, to be honest. They've not necessarily got the results, but they've not been exactly an easy team to play against.
What worries me about Everton, though, I don't see any goals in that team.
They're away.
60 mil Anthony Gordon.
Anthony Gordon, right, he's got a couple of this season. Oh,
they've got Brentford away after.
Mate, did you watch the Liverpool game?
Yeah, I was so jarring, man.
Honestly. I've never appreciated United more than after watching that Everton Liverpool game. Like, honestly, to be fair to Mopai, some of the balls he was getting weren't great.
But the one where he got, like, where he was perfectly set up and then he just hit Alisson.
Yeah.
Why do you think Brighton sold him?
Yeah. When they actually need
didn't
a striker
he like well. Massively underachieve his XG like yeah. every season and he was awful.
When's Calvert-Lewin back? Is he not?
But he's another like. Yeah, I mean, I like.
But Calvert-Lewin's good, man.
Yeah, but Calvert-Lewin's
good. Especially, I think in this team,
last season got 5 goals.
No, but then in this, no, but then Everton are awful. I think a lot of the time when you judge players, bro, he's probably somewhere like in New York or.
Do you know what I mean? But
GQ
like,
and all that.
He can, if he's injured all the time, like there's nothing Lampard or whatever can do about that. Do you know
but when I
mean?
Look at the way they played, I felt like if they had a proper nine there.
Yeah.
Especially the way the Premier League is now with, do you know what? We've seen with these big nines well. Doing well.
Is that whole Dwight McNeil thing? I didn't get that. Guy got one assist in
I like McNeil, games. Man.
Why?
He's such a weird player because when you look at his productivity, it's just
no goals and one assist in 37 Premier League games and they went at
it's something extremely like.
Or 30 million.
It's weird because I think there's a decent player in McNeil, but there's something extremely League One about him.
There's something that just doesn't hit right.
Do you know what I mean? I'm hoping that they pull something out of the bag and then beat Arsenal because I think they can get momentum.
I'm not going to lie. I liked that game off them against Liverpool. Like, I know they can see, you're always going to concede chances against Liverpool, yeah. And Pickford had an absolute worldie of a game.
Oh,
let's
be
honest.
That save that for Salah right at the end game. Was such a good save.
And he had a couple. There was a couple on Firmino. Mm.
Yeah.
They had a good. And bro, even they hit the bar, didn't they, with Davies? Like Maupay missed that chance. And then there was a couple where the ball just always like under hit, over hit. They could have got a goal or two in that game. And then obviously they had the goal chalked off as well.
And what gets Connor to Cody. That, VAR, because that's been dominating the news over the weekend. We saw the Everton game was probably not that controversial. I think you can all agree that, you know, Connor Cody was offside. But there was the West Ham-Chelsea game where we saw Bowen get a foul on Mendy, which was very, very soft at best. There was the Palace-Newcastle game, I think, as well, where the kids got a foul given again. I think it was a foul, was it?
What about the Eriksen one?
Yeah. And then there's another one, I think. Mind you, that wasn't nothing to do with VR, the one I'm thinking of, sorry. So, yeah. Where do you stand on VR? Because everyone's saying it's had this nightmare weekend where people are questioning it. People are saying it needs a review. I think the Pogmol or whatever they call it are going to look into it. Start with you, Abdullah. What do you make of VR?
I think just talk about the Eriksen one first, innit? Because it's more. Now I'm saying to Abdul, like, touch on the Eriksen one first. I want to see what you think about
that,
it.
That first, yeah, let's get that one out.
What, the Eriksen United one?
Eriksen,
he
could have
killed him.
First of all.
Look, he's a red card all day long. that's what I was confused.
I personally agree.
Do you know what I mean?
To go score an opportunity.
Yeah.
That the police should have come on the pitch and took him out.
Should have been arrested. Assault.
On live TV. But let's be honest. How's the ref not called that? Odegaard's nowhere near the ball. The ball's in front of Eriksen. The ref can clearly see Odegaard's not touched the ball. Then when you watch the replay, Odegaard, first of all, gives him a bit of a shove, which is one of them where you're like, oh yeah, you should do better to protect the ball if you're Eriksen there. But then when you actually watch, like, there was an angle that I watched today. His leg just goes around Eriksen a bit as well. Eriksen's coming to kick the ball. So you've denied the player from touching the ball to release the pressure or, like, to get out of that situation. It's a foul. Why are we even
debating
this?
Do you know what annoyed me about it,
though? That's the first thing. Like, why is it all over Twitter? Why all these Arsenal fans still crying? Get on with it,
clutching at straws. Because you know what annoyed me was when the ref was looking out on the monitor, he looked desperate to give it still, you know?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Do you know what I mean? It was his pride thinking, I don't want to admit that I got this
wrong. Because
Michael
Oliver did it at the weekend, didn't it? For the Bournemouth Forest game, I think. He gave a penalty and then he was asked to go and review it and he still gave it. I think it was the Bournemouth Forest game.
Yeah.
And then people think, you know, could this be the turning point? Because usually when they get asked to review it, they'll go with the VAR, won't they? Because they'll think,
he was having a hard... And I was thinking, what were you looking at? Because it's a foul. He's literally semi-shoved him in the back. It might be a little bit of soft contact. He's basically collided his knee on the back on the side of his leg.
He's denied
and he's
him kicking
over.
The ball.
So I don't understand
that's
how
thing.
That's not a foul.
If you deny, I always say this, there's a lot of fouls when you say it's a soft foul. And I feel like when it's like a shove or a push that it just unbalances you a little bit, like fair enough. Like I can see that side of it. And when watching it in the stands at the ground, I thought it was a bit like that. But then when you watch it
I
back.
I missed it, mate.
Bro, like. The guy denies Eriksen kicking the ball through his leg coming out. When that happens, you've denied the player doing what he wants to do with the ball. It's just a foul. Like, it's
exactly.
Not
and what,
for debate.
And what about the Lukonga challenge on Bruno?
That's a red card. That and the Van Dijk one for me are red cards.
Van Dijk, that's a good point. Van Dijk one, I mean,
I've only seen stills.
I don't even know why. It didn't. That didn't go to VAR, though, did it?
No, it didn't.
And is that because he's give a yellow?
I don't know. I think it was.
Is that because once you give a yellow light, that's like because he's seen it and he's
out. That was that.
No, I think he can still get. He can still get upgraded.
Right. They have to shout the ref. Right.
I think you know what it is. I think sometimes it's VAR influenced by appeals. So like, say there's like a mad appeal for a decision.
Yeah.
Does that pressure them to
I
go?
I feel like it does.
I feel like it does. Because if it's not, then they...
I feel like if the Everton players surrounded the ref and be like, "Oh, that's the thing," because they just carried on. Because when you look at it as it was happening, it looked like a normal challenge, and it did. Like when you actually see it first time, like the game just carries on. Like, it just looks like semi-bad challenge. Probably stepped on his foot or whatever. But then when you actually watch it back, you're like, if Everton players notice how bad that was.
Is that a million miles away? I know it's a different type of challenge, but if you look at where his foot ends up on the kid's leg, it's the same as when Pogba played against Liverpool and got sent off.
Yeah.
Foot has ended up exactly the same spot on his shin. I think Pogba got a red without any debating or anything, and this guy gets a yellow card.
I think the pressure has a lot to do with it because a lot of the times when there's not been much of an appeal, about 5 seconds later, the commentator will go, "Oh, VAR check's been complete," just in the background while the play's been going on. Yeah. And I think usually when it gets sent to the VAR that way, they'll just normally stick to the decision rather than stop the game. But when the game's been stopped and there's like been a massive, like almost, some not altercation, but like a massive scene caused by the happened. I think that's when they take more time to literally look at the decision. It's a very, very, very flawed system, which was brought in to basically eliminate errors from the game.
Yeah.
But in hindsight, it's just made more in a different way.
As well, when you're at the game, I know it's awful when you're at home watching it,
yeah,
but when you're at the game, because you can't see a replay, you don't know what's going on. You know what I mean? It's like you're in the dark and you're waiting these 3 or 4 minutes and it mutes your celebration as well, doesn't it?
That's the annoying part for me of VAR. It's like you lost that natural...
Let's go berserk. Did you see Richarlison? Yeah. He scored against Fulham. Did you see it?
Yeah.
And he took his shirt off.
I know it looks funny towards the fans. Yeah.
Did he still get booked?
He got booked, yeah. Which I think is harsh. He got booked for celebrating a goal that didn't even stand as a goal. But he still got his booking, I think.
Imagine he's already in a yellow.
I know. Asaid says, United didn't control the game. They only countered the same way they played Liverpool. Arsenal dominated the game. I know United got the goals. Well, that's just ruined the result for me.
Thank you, man.
I won't be
so good about that. I'm so, so sad.
I won't sleep tonight.
So sad.
Peter Carroll says, has Abdul apologised for his McTom disrespect?
Have you ever disrespected?
I have. I put it out on Twitter yesterday.
I might have to put it out.
You know,
you want to see it for half a season, don't you?
Yeah. But no, that was just about the performance. Do you know the Shaquille O'Neal meme where it's like, I apologise?
Yeah.
I wasn't like...
You're not alone.
I wasn't aware of your skills.
I think there's a lot of people that...
It was good yesterday. I have to say, he was actually good, but...
Because we normally see this performance from whenever we played Leeds.
Abdullah Ibrahim says, the Van Dijk challenge did go to VAR. Pogmol admitted they got it wrong. Sorry. Yeah, it went to VAR and they said, oh no, it's all right. And then they went, we've got our...
So can that not be upgraded? To be fair.
What, they bail Van Dijk now? You know, you can't play
that. I'm not sure.
Decided to give you a red card for that thing that happened the other day.
Send the ref to his dog.
It might as well, you know. But to be fair, that'd probably help Liverpool at the moment, the way he's been playing.
Yeah. He looks like Bambi on ice.
Now, I always said it about Van Dijk, though, literally the kind of demands that are placed on centre-halves in that system that Liverpool play, slowing down in the slightest in that position, he's going to get found out. And I think because he's hit his 30s now, I think it's a steep drop.
Especially
playing in Klopp's system
as a
centre-half, do you know what I mean? Because they rely so much on 1v1s, covering large distances.
And he's not real
game. I don't think he's got the...
Real.
I think he's on his way out.
You reckon?
I think it's going to be steep.
Arsenal are going to fall like a stone through the table. I said this already.
I think his decline is going to be steep because of the system he's playing. And I think Van Dijk, if he played for a team that didn't require you to be covering... Trent playing right wing basically most of the time, and you basically playing two positions and running channels
because he's having a bit of a ropey start to the season as well. And the old Trent Alexander-Arnold, I think he got subbed in the Everton game, and he didn't look too great. Was it the Newcastle game? I think he had a bit of a stinker.
Yeah,
I think so. Anyway, forgive me getting that one wrong.
Yeah.
So he's looked a little bit like off the pace. Then you've got Van Dijk as well. I just look at Liverpool when you played against us. It just didn't seem like the same Liverpool of last season. It just seemed like there was something missing.
I still feel like they'll find a bit of a rhythm, but I don't know whether they've probably give City and Co a little bit of a head start too much. But
Salah doesn't look himself. Van Dijk.
Is it strange that Liverpool have always had the business model of never really paying high salaries and moving players on once they get to that stage?
Yeah.
And the one time that they broke their kind of wage structure to give Mo Salah the something he probably deserved, he's followed it up by being subpar.
But they've also signed... Yeah. Also, when they signed Nunes, I thought that's not really a Liverpool move. I don't know if you guys thought of that, but like...
Yeah.
They... When they bought Van Dijk, that made sense. Like, especially it showed that within a couple of months at the time, it made the instant impact they needed. When they bought Alisson, when they bought Fabinho, the impact those players had for what the team needed. When they bought Nunes to replace Sadio Mane, and I know they hate hearing this, and that's actually why I want to say this, but Sadio Mane, I would have rather just given Sadio Mane a bigger contract, because the last 6 months where he was playing through the middle, keeping things touch tight, link up play, like the game against us at Anfield, like finding free balls over the top of the defence. How is Nunes in any way or shape or form an upgrade on that? And Mane through the middle can play beyond his 30s. He's not like he's not going to be playing wide. And I feel like, and he's proven it now. Buying a player is really number nine.
You can't say that, bro.
But for me, Nunes.
You can't say that because Mane wanted to leave, didn't he?
Yeah. But
so did it. I don't think he had much choice. I don't think he wanted to get rid of Mane. I think Mane just wanted to leave.
I don't blame him as well. Like, you go to Bayern Munich, one of the biggest clubs in the world. He pains me to say it, but he's won a lot of Liverpool, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, what, you're just going to stay at Liverpool the rest of your career? Now's the time.
I'm glad he left, you know.
I am not. Whether it was
like him wanting to leave or like them not giving
they're
him.
They're in a top four race with us, I think.
Liverpool.
I think they're going to struggle this season, man.
Well, he had one of the worst title defences ever, I think, since the David Moyes title defence. Last time, didn't they?
Yeah, probably, obviously.
Right, they fell off a cliff. They lost six on the spin at home.
Listen, they're gonna score goals like your Nunez's and Salah's. Like them guys are gonna do their thing in it. But overall, as a team, that defense and midfield just looks all over the shop.
That
right
midfield,
now. It feels like anyone can break that team. It feels like anyone can break that
where
team.
Where do you think United end up finishing then? Because
so hard to call.
It's hard to call it at the moment. As long as we finish above Arsenal, I'll be happy.
But so 15th when they're 16.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, if Arsenal, you know, if they get were 16 relegated and we finished 15th. Just above the relegation zone, you'd be all right.
I'd still be happy about that.
Yeah.
But obviously the expectations don't just end there. I'd ideally look at the way we're playing now.
Yeah.
And know that it's still early days. Ten Hag's still moulding it all together. If it does end up clicking like it seems to be clicking, why can't we be a solidified top four teams, especially where it is looking like a little bit of an unpredictable season anyway, where anything can happen.
Brighton could win the league.
Brighton are flying, bro.
They're not winning the league.
I'll tell you what.
Yeah. Brighton is strange, you know. When I watched them, they look like they have about 20 players that play the exact same way. Look.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's just all... It's like a well-oiled machine.
Yeah, I was going to say, they feel like so organised, yeah. They feel like, literally, like you said... Like
doesn't not feel like Trossard, Gross, McAllister, they all basically... Sully March, they all basically mould into the same player.
Yeah,
it's almost. It's like
they feel secure though, yeah, on the ball though. They all feel like they know what their job.
They're
is.
They're all so good in possession. Like all these players, I said, they're all so.
Graham Potter, I really, really rate Graham Potter, and I think if England were really about it, they would actually.
Yeah, he's probably next.
They'd get Southgate out the door and get him in as a manager. But I think when we're looking at this top four race, it's not going to be easy. With Tottenham, with City, when I look at that. In terms of them being the challengers, because obviously Tottenham are unbeaten still, aren't they? Currently, they just drew that game against West Ham. But obviously they won the rest of the league game so far. When you've got Harry Kane top of his form, Son will start getting into it. Like, I've been watching the last few Tottenham games. He's missed quite a few chances. He's hit the bar a few times, been a bit unlucky.
People said his XG's performance is kind of catching up with him. Because apparently he's in his career, he's overperformed his XG by nearly 40 goals.
He's a top finisher. Really?
Yeah, he's a crazy finisher, right and left foot.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But
he'll be fine this season. They'll eventually get the goals. For me, Spurs, it's the Champions League. That's where it's going to be a big hindrance. That can either like... Because if they drop out that Champions League group, which I don't think will happen, which has happened before, by the way, to Conte at Inter. He still went on to win the league. And then he goes, whatever, with the Europa League. They can maybe still challenge, but... I think they're going to struggle in that sense. They could catch injuries. Kane could catch an injury. Heiberg right now is very important to them. Heiberg's
having a great
season. Big problem. Mm. So there's a bit of iffy moments. The back three, I think for some reason, Conte, the quality of the defenders never really matters. It's like the organisation. That's why Ben Davies at left centre half has worked for them. That's why these things are okay. But the quality in terms of Højbjerg in midfield and the front line with Kane, Son.
But in the end, you can just never really trust Tottenham, can you?
You can't, but I can't see, man. Other than City, Conte, I can't even say who's definitely finishing the top. I think that's how difficult it is.
Different gravy with Conte there. I do.
Do you think Chelsea could nip back into this?
Yeah.
They could do, because they've bought a lot of players.
They've got too much quality in the team.
Gelling. They got very lucky, though, didn't they, the weekend?
They weren't great against West Ham. And that decision
was disgusting.
Ridiculous. But I think it's hard to call, man. United are in a good place, though. Because when you look at, obviously, what you guys will be doing previews and whatnot for that Europa League game. But in my opinion, when you look at this United team, you look at right back, what you got, Williams, Wan-Bissaka, potentially
starting.
Williams
not in the squad for the Europa League.
I know something about that. I can't speak.
Say no more.
I don't know if it's about the Europa League, but there is something with Williams.
Right,
but,
okay.
With Man United's back four, you look at, say, Wan-Bissaka or Williams when that's sorted. Harry Maguire, Lindelof, Luke Shaw. What's that? Man United's.
What's happening with Williams?
Back four. I'm not saying, I don't know.
ITK and that, just bro. No, I wasn't gonna let you off the hook with that, you know. Just waiting for you to finish.
I don't know what this is.
No, there's no certainty over.
Right, okay. Let's not start.
I heard an extra drop this morning on it as well. Just listen. Made a bit spicy.
Really? Made a bit spicy.
Yeah.
Right. Abdullah's bright red at the moment.
Yeah, what's going on here, bro? We'll talk about this off camera. We've got a couple of super chats before we get sued. Jeremy Liam says United are still in progress, but played well. In the things they do well, which are defending and counter-attacking football. The next step is to control games. Yeah, I kind of agree with that. Sibbo One says, can you smell what the Hag is cooking? Ten Hag's just meant it. Red Baron says, Ten Hag put his generals in the team. We are seeing warriors inspire us. I love the South Americans in our team. We have been soft for too long. What I liked about Casemiro as well, when he was warming up, he was telling people, like, coaching him. Like, he was shouting from the sidelines and having a little word with him. So, you know what I mean? And you can, you know, fault that experience he's got. And people are going to listen to him, aren't they? If they've got any brains anyway. Just before we wrap up as well, a couple of things I want to go for him. United's transfer window, obviously, done now. Antony came in, Casemiro, Martinez, Malacia, Eriksen, Dubravka. How do you rate that out of 10? Abdullah, I'll start with you.
I think in terms of numbers,
yeah,
I would have liked to have a better window. But when you look at the profile of players, so I think someone would tell us it never really worked out. You needed someone to come in young, hungry, one of the best, probably up and coming, like left backs in Europe.
Yeah.
Malacia, you go and pick him up for that price. Martinez, left footed centre half, great on the ball, aggressive, made for what this team need right now. Casemiro, yeah, veteran DM, like we know what he can give you as well at the top level. Then you look at Antony. Ronaldo highlighted it perfectly. Like, we've missed that in the front line, having someone off the right, left footed, who, you know, it gives you a whole different dynamic. So the profiles are spot on. And then a keeper, we want to see what happens with Dubravka. And last of all, man, Eriksen, bro, like for a free, with, I don't know, someone said like yesterday on Twitter, they've given him like compound V or whatever. Like, I don't know what this guy's on, bro, but like, he looks absolutely fine to me, bro. He's running all game. He's winning challenges. He's doing his thing.
But he's always played like that, though. He's always covered ground.
He's always covered ground very well. But I didn't think after what happened and like after the break he had and stuff that he would come in and have this impact to this level and cover this much ground and do this much work. Yeah. But I rate it probably 8.5.
He's one of them stamina guys, but you don't really go anywhere fast. But
nah, he's just got
covers a lot of distance.
Yeah,
fully aerobic.
Bruno's ridiculous as well. With
yeah, Bruno.
Bruno like 90 man. Minute Bruno. Running around like it's Bruno first minute, man. He's sick. How would you rate our transfer window out of 10? I'll get into some of the comments as well, people giving us their ratings.
I'd give it a 7 in terms of what we've ended up with, but yeah, you can't go much higher than that because of the whole De Jong saga. I can't just shake that.
Yeah,
that did drain me, but you obviously look at the amount of money spent with full positions of need. We've been complaining about not having a DM for however long, even though he's not playing at the moment. But I feel like he will come into the squad eventually. It's a long season with a lot of games. Signed Casemiro. Martinez seemed to add a little bit of grit, like passion, spirit and leadership to our back line. Malacia, probably alongside Eriksen, one of the bargains of the summer, yeah, in terms of completely displacing Luke Shaw. And he's another one where he seems to have a mentality and hunger that I do like. And that's the biggest difference about the United team at the moment in general. And then I think Antony has a little bit of that as well. Obviously, we talked about all the qualities,
But even before he came, one of the things that Ajax did say about him is he works hard off the ball.
He does.
He presses. That. He's tenacious.
Zinchenko isn't easy to deal with, innit? Like, no. Because of the way he drives in. Zinchenko was
a massive problem off the ball, especially in the second half when he was drifting into midfield. And Anthony was tracking back. He was running. He seems to have a little bit of that South American fire.
I think that whole back four feels like they have that thing you're talking about, where it's like that hunger that you want to see. And one more point about Martinez as well. Like, I feel like he's bought out something in Varane where, you know, when Varane was like alongside Ramos and it was like, it worked. And obviously, I'm not comparing Martinez to Ramos in any way.
Martinez is a lot better.
But yeah, Martinez is absolutely clear. But, but it's that profile of having that defender who's just going to go in for the challenge, and sometimes it might not work out, sometimes it will. And I think Varane's already played that alongside.
You need those contrasting styles.
You do. I was going to say that because Varane actually looks like a complete different player next to Martinez than when he plays next to Maguire.
Yeah, no, it does. They suit each other, obviously. I think Martinez has just got everyone
I don't think it would work, to be fair, with them two, but...
I'm loving the fact that they're high-fiving and hugging after tackles and all that as well. You can see there's a real team spirit there in that defence. In terms of rating at the transfer window at 10, Sybil 1 says 7, P. Craig says 7, United Guayo says 7 is sensible. WTF, I'm actually right, says 4 out of 10. Ed T says our window, 6.5 out of 10. Murta and Arnold get us a 3 out of 10. TNT Killer says 7. Sonic Quantum in the Super Chat says 4 to 5 out of 10 window, in my honest opinion. Or in my opinion, sorry. Messing about for months for the De Jong deal and not signing a centre-forward. Think we needed a bit more considering last season's disaster. Your Wallys of the Week. I'll start with you, actually. Who's your Wally of the Week?
Arteta.
It's nice. Only one. It shouldn't be Arteta. It's it's not one. It's quite a few, and it's Arsenal fans.
Arsenal fans, just in general.
Should only be. Yeah,
Arteta just for being memed for his absolutely awful substitutions, the excuses after the game, and him getting memed up for that forfeit match quit FIFA thing, which was quite ironic because of the changes he made as well.
Yeah, he basically rage quit mid game, didn't he?
Right. No, he didn't.
Well, you guys have gone. You've gone with Arsenal fans.
Pep Light.
You've gone with Arteta. I'll go with all these Tories, right? Coming out, going on about, Boris Johnson did such a good job as Prime Minister and all this other nonsense. No, he didn't. And one of the worst Prime Ministers we've ever had, which is quite ironic because he's just been succeeded by someone who's going to be even worse. But anyway, that's my Wally of the Week. You know, I don't like to get political, but I'm making an exception. Yeah, just the Tories. There you go. You can have Arsenal fans.
Is this the channel for it? Can we get political here? I forgot about this.
I've
been known. I was literally about to say it wouldn't be a podcast for Johnny if it didn't become slightly political at some point.
So I am sorry.
Do you know what I mean? Gonna start calling you MPJ.
MPJ. I've been called worse. Where can people find you, Ronaldo Brown? You
can find Ronaldo Brown _98 on the Bird app.
The Bird app, yo. Abdullah, what you been up to? Where can people find you?
I've been up to nothing, just working.
Wow.
And watching United.
We need more effort on the Arsenal post,
I'm going to go a shout. I felt like I was just going in about the fans crying about challenges, but I need a bit more hate in there.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to clip up what I did at the start of this show, the anger
that's what we need to see, anger and passion.
AbdulGH_ on Twitter.
Go and check it out. Got all this good stuff on there. Make sure you subscribe to the channel as well. There's a link in the chat to subscribe. We'll get to 700,000 subscribers by the end of the season. With your help, we can get it. A big thanks to Manscaped. Make sure you're using the code.
What? Next week, innit?
What?
And what? 700K?
Yeah, next week. Sorry, I forgot. Yeah, by next week, we'll get there. So make sure you're doing that. Big thanks to Manscaped for sponsoring us. There's a link in the description. Use the code DEVILS20. You get 20% off and free shipping. That's been Ronaldo. That's been Abdullah. I've been Jay. This has been the Paddock Podcast, where we've all been laughing at Arsenal. Thanks for watching. Sports Social Podcast Network.